whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there's any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Okay, so I chose to talk about how our mind operates day to day, how our mind operates in regards to positive thinking, negative thoughts, and I think it's applicable for all of us, and especially Bob. Yeah, Bob told me, he was just joking about it earlier. So if you'll do me a favor, completely clear your mind. When I say clear your mind, there's something that you do. Stop thinking about your phone buzzing or dinging. Stop thinking about what you're going to eat for dinner, what you're going to do immediately following. Clear your mind. You're here. There's nothing else that you have to do. There's nowhere else you're going to go. This is the moment that you're in. It's been a challenge for all of us in 2020 in regards to the battle for our minds. Anybody who's got social media or watches the news knows what I'm talking about. Your mind reels about the things that you see, the things that people think and why they think them. And you're frustrated or confused or you're afraid. You know, there's a political agenda that's flashed everywhere and the future of our children is at stake and we are all thinking about those things. And so it's easy to have your mind consumed by the things that are negative, by the things that are, I won't say they're not important because they're obviously important, but they're not eternal. They're short-sighted. And I want to talk about that. There is a battle that rages in all of us for control of our mind. There are people all over who are easily conquered by sports or jobs or making their children happy, and their minds are easily consumed by those things which mean nothing. But the battle rages inside of you and outside of you for control of your mind. Other people, it's a little deeper. Fear controls them. The fear of the unknown, the fear of political unknowns, the fear of their children. Depression, physical ailments rule their mindsets because they're hurting or they're, you know, in some sort of physical state, or just a lack of faith. And it reels their mind all the time. It controls it. And I think that's why when we read texts like this, that we have to take them really seriously. And when we read our Bible, we have to take it really seriously. Because the Bible is what continues to be and will always be the key to overcoming all other efforts to control your mind. It's the only thing that will work. The thrust of a verse like this, the writer writes this verse because he knows that there are people that he's with that struggle to think about positive things. We'll talk about that. But if you know anything about the first century church and the things that they were going through, it's far, far worse than anything we're going through currently. So I want to talk about the thrust of a verse like this, where a writer writes this and 2,000 years have passed, but the thrust of the verse is still so important to the way that we think and whether we can be positive or whether we can overcome all the other noise. That we need positive things in our life, affirmation of positive things, a direction to think positively. We need that direction because otherwise we wake up in our day And we start thinking about our day and just what needs accomplished. And our mind's direction is all over. And by the time that we realize it's all over, the other things in the world have consumed our minds and our direction of positive spiritual thinking is gone. And so I want to challenge you today with that. Think about this. The ultimate freedom we have as human beings is a power to control what our mind dwells on. It's important that we don't give this power to anyone or anything. What do you think about when you hear the word mind? M-I-N-D, mind. I'll give you some ideas about how we use it. Clear your mind. You heard that earlier, right? Great minds think alike. Well, that's a load off my mind. I'm in this frame of mind. Wow, that has a mind of its own. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. Give him a piece of your mind. Not that you guys would ever do that. That blows my mind. Make up your mind. Mind your own business. Out of sight, out of mind, right? You read my mind. Let's do something and get your mind off of it. Wow, that never crossed my mind. I just need some peace of mind. He's a legend in his own mind. And lastly, for the kids, I'm bored out of my mind. Right? Think of all the ways we use the word mind. But does anybody really know how to define I'm out of my mind? I'm bored out of my mind? What is your mind? Is it just your brain? It's more than your brain. This is how the word's defined. It's a complex of elements in a certain individual that includes feelings, perceptions, thoughts, their will, and especially the things they are reasoning. So think about it. Your mind, when we use that term, our mind, it can be feelings, perceptions, how we think, what our will is, and what we're currently reasoning on. Now, think about the term, I can't make up my mind. Just think about that. Is it possible that your will is one thing, but your reasoning has drawn you to a conclusion of something else? We do it all the time, scripturally. We don't all desire to do some things that we know are right. The physical portion of life, humanity, wants to draw us in, and sometimes it looks nice, but our will is maybe to go do that, but our reasoning knows that that's not the case. That's not being able to make up your mind. Or even you feel one way, but your reasoning is different. Sometimes you know that hard things have to be done. They're not necessarily what you want to do, but your reasoning has told you that's what you need to do, making up your mind. And the reason I'm talking about this is because as humans, as people who are in Christ, this is super, super critical. Our minds are going to dwell somewhere. Our minds are going to dwell somewhere. You wake up and all of our minds go in different places. I'm going to tell you what I do every single day. I asked my wife what she did too. It's interesting. I wake up. The alarm goes off, I hit the alarm, I sit up in bed, and I put my feet on the floor. And my very first thought, I make a cognizant thought every day to say, Lord, from this point forward, guide my steps. Every single day I've made it my habit. Every day. Now, that's a cognizant thought and a habit that I have to develop. But it's something that I use in order to start my day. Yours may be totally different. You may literally be a zombie until you're in the shower. that's fine. I don't. However you do it is how you do it. But our minds, from the day, the second we wake up, our minds go somewhere. And it is our personal responsibility to direct our minds to paths of righteousness, to paths of positive things, to paths of thinking like the text has given us direction. And if you don't think that there's a battle to get your mind to think of other things that aren't concerning to those things, you're wrong. Satan. Watch. He'll be more than happy to do that. And if you think it takes no effort to direct your mind to spiritual things, to put your mind in glory, you're wrong. It takes a disciplined effort to do so. Kids, you're no different. You're absolutely no different. Day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, our minds go somewhere. Whether it lives on things in the world or whether it's focused on things in glory will be dependent on our day-to-day decisions, dependent on what we decide to do. The Bible's pretty clear, I think, that we're going to be held accountable for those decisions and that what we decide daily about where our mind's going to dwell, because obviously our decisions produce what we do. So there tends to be a natural tendency from the beginning of history for us not wanting to be responsible for our decisions. That's why I'm saying that. You could live life and get up and not direct your mind and live a perfectly moral life today. And from this day forward, you can live perfectly moral, be a nice person and a nice family, and you can make your way through life and finish life that way. But the Bible is very, very clear that you're going to be responsible when you pass from this life into the next and how you answer to God about the things that you've done, deeds in the flesh. And so why I'm saying that is that we all know that just living a moral life doesn't get us to glory. That it has to be an exceptional life, an exceptional spiritual life. So today, evaluate yourself on whether we're just trekking through life or whether we're making cognizant decisions that we're personally responsible for to get where we're going to go spiritually. Now, I was talking about the tendency of people, of just humans as a whole, to just brush off responsibility. Do you remember what Adam said when he sinned? It was the girl you gave me. Not my fault. You gave her to me, right? Do you remember what Eve said? It was the snake. They both went like this. It wasn't me, it was them, right? Immediately, it was their natural instinct to point to someone else or something else, either a person or the circumstances in their life. They said, nope, wasn't my fault, somebody else's fault. And I'm not saying you purposely do that. I just think people naturally do that. I'm calling you to task today to be personally responsible for your mindset, for where you're going to go, what you're going to do, and how you're going to accomplish it spiritually. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. You want to turn there with me? Romans 3, 19. This is a text. It was in reference to the law, but it was interesting because I picked the text because it shows that humanity still had the same thought of passing the buck for responsibility until the law came. And the law held everyone accountable, and no one was getting out of that. Romans chapter 3, verse 19 says, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed, and all the world may be accountable to God." No more it's someone else's fault. Everyone became accountable under the law. It's the same is true for us under the law of faith. Now, no one gets to blame anybody else. So now, that puts the onus on husbands and wives also. Husbands, Your wife is not personally responsible for your bad attitude. And wives, vice versa. You're personally responsible. And I know how difficult this is. I do. I know. I understand the magnitude of what I'm saying. When I'm hungry, or I'm tired, or I'm irritated, or I'm disappointed, or whatever it is, it's no one else's or no other circumstance's fault about the attitude I choose to have at that point. It's mine. I'm responsible. You're responsible. So I just want you to be cognizant that there's no passing the buck spiritually. There's no passing the buck on what we're responsible to have as far as our mindset and the direction of our mindset. So I think the Apostle Paul, when he writes, he knows how hard it is, and he lets Christians know that they can build a place for their mind to go. They can live in a place that exists that helps them make better decisions and have better attitudes. And so he writes about life's positives in our text. Our text, in reference to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, he writes that, and he says, finally, brethren, now he had been talking about forbearing spirit, and he had been talking about praying to God for peace, and for God to guard their hearts and to guard their minds. And then he brings these positives to the table, and he says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute. Good repute, that's like good reputation or honest or forthright. If there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on those things. These things are powerful, uplifting concepts, and the command is for every single saint to have that mindset exist in them. Now, a mindset, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I have this figured out, because things happen in the moment. They happen when you're tired and it's 11 o'clock. I always tell Jaggy's like, our biggest arguments as married couples came late at night when everybody was tired and short-tempered, and that's when it happened. And like, we've obviously grown mature enough to understand and recognize it and just be like, yep, I'm tired. We're going to talk about it in the morning. We weren't quite that mature yet when we were young, but I get it. But there has to be a mindset that has to be trained to reject negative instantly and move it, shift it over to positive things almost instantly. You know how difficult that is when people are irritating you? You know how difficult that is when people aren't honest and they're not upright? And they have no purity, they have no righteousness, and they could care less about you. You know how difficult that is to be able to train your mind to shift itself from something so negative to something positive, and to be able to have something positive come from your mouth in an encouraging way? It takes training. And I'm going to sit here and tell you it doesn't. It takes training. I'm not going to tell you it's going to take your whole life to do it. I'm just telling you it takes exercise. And I want to encourage you to do it, because it's what sets us apart from people. The ability to shift to positive thinking, to positive mental attitudes, to have these types of things that are listed in Philippians chapter 4 on our minds and at the forefront of our minds, even when things stink, you will separate yourself from the rest of the world very, very quickly. Also, too, if the items that are listed in Philippians chapter 4 are honorable and we're commanded to focus on them, then the opposite of all those things are dishonorable, right? And they need to be rejected. And that which is honorable has to be upheld. So here's the thing that I'm not suggesting. I'm not suggesting that you dismiss or ignore dishonorable things, because I think wrong has to be put in the correct category. Dishonorable things have to be put in the correct category. But also what I am saying is that once you put the wrong in that correct category, what is honorable and right needs to be lifted up and focused on. Somebody does something that's wrong, something happens that's wrong, something happens that's dishonorable, something that happens that's the opposite of all those things in Philippians chapter 4. I'm not saying don't think about them. I'm saying contemplate them, put them in the category they belong, but don't focus on them. Focus on what is upright. Focus on what is good and honorable. I say these things because some people are really, really good at this. I'm not going to lie. Like, some people, that it takes much less effort. For me, this takes tons of effort. That's why I'm telling you. It takes tons of effort. It's really, you ever seen piranhas get fed, right? They throw food in there. It's like one goes, then they all go. That's how people are, right? One negative statement, somebody jumps on it, uh-oh, here comes the next person, and the next person, and they're all like, ah, and they're all piranhas, and they all have something negative to say. And it's so easy to do, and it was so easy for me to do for so long, because it's like, yeah, okay, they threw a softball up, I'm going to hit a homer, right? I'm going to hit it out of the park. It's easy to do. Like, I want you to be aware. It really does take effort. It takes effort for me, and some people it's going to take a lot of effort, and I just want to encourage you. To reject those things that are out there. So, as far as negativity, the opposite of these things that are listed in Philippians chapter 4, it's our tendency to think that negative words are bad and are to be avoided, and that's true. Okay? Negative statements, negative attitudes, those are all, we're trying to avoid those things. That's what I've been pitching this whole time. But the one thing I want you to make sure that you see, particularly as someone who's in Christ, is how destructive negative thoughts are, equally destructive, if not more destructive than negative words. I know that you can be cognizant and not swear. You can train yourself to do that. Lots of people who come to Christ who have been swears don't swear any longer. You can be cognizant to train yourself not to say something negative in the moment. But just as equally as dangerous are negative thoughts. You know what happens when you're consistently stewing on negative thoughts? It's rotten. It is so rotten. It does nothing for you personally. It does nothing for the people that you talk to. When you're stewing on negative thoughts, the next person you have a conversation with that you are friends with tends to what? It seethes those negative thoughts to them, right? They understand it. They feel it. I'm telling you this because it's very real. But I want to tell you because it's just as damaging to entertain negative thoughts and not be able to stop. Put negative where it needs to be and focus on those things that are positive. That's what the writer intends. The writer gave us those things so we could focus on them. So every one of us is responsible for building the proper mental environment for our minds. The writer says, he uses these words, let your mind dwell on these things. Let your mind dwell on these things. If your mind dwells in Hollywood and the twistedness of it and that environment, then that's what drives it. If your mind evolves to sports, then that's what drives it. If we allow ourselves to exist in doom and gloom, then our attitude obviously stinks and is also going to be in doom and gloom. Here's the reason that I think it's so, so important for us to understand this. Can you not focus on these good things? Have a bad attitude, have some negative thoughts, and function in life? Sure. Sure you can. People do it all the time. People you know. That's not why we're talking about this. We're talking about this because we want to be effective examples for Christ. We want to have our part in effective soul winning for Christ. That's why we're here. If we are all in Christ, if us who are here are in Christ, our objective is to be an effective example to those who are not in Christ and an effective soul winner, or our contribution to the soul winning, not necessarily just the Bible studying or this or that, but whatever contribution is ours in that part, that's our goal. And with a focus on negative things, we can't be an effective example. You're not going to be an effective example with negative thoughts, negative principles, negative words. You're not. So I want to encourage you to ask yourself, are you an effective example? Are you a productive participant in soul winning? I think we all know and have pretty good experience with the difference of our attitude makes in our own personal life. It can get really hard, and things can get to us, and the relentless pounding of the world, man, feels heavy sometimes. I get it. But I want to encourage you. You have a place to build your mind and exist and to thrive spiritually if you create it for yourself. God has put these principles in place for you to exist in a spiritual place with a spiritual mind, with your mind in glory, so that those things can't touch you. But if your mind is not in glory, those things will touch you. They will. You think about the first century church. I'm getting close to the end here. You think about the first century church and you think about what they've been through. We're talking about people who've lost all of their worldly possessions, all of their worldly money, relationships, loved ones, threats of their lives consistently, right? They weren't like scared to get made fun of. They were like scared to die. You know, the stories about the Colosseum, they're not fake stories. Stories about Christians being burnt on poles to light roadways, not fake stories. These are people who endured real, legitimate things, were terrified. What kind of mindset must you have to not be depressed about that? Like, to not get so wrapped up in that, that what you're doing and what you believe in is so passionate in your heart that you're willing to go the distance, willing to give your life for that cause. Look at 2 Corinthians. Let's flip to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll show you how they responded. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 11. But we have this treasure in earthen vessel, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not of ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not despairing. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body, the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our mortal flesh. In order to exist in a place like that, where you're not going to be downtrodden, depressed, and negative, you have to somehow mentally exist in another place. You have to shift gears and get your mind to glory and spiritual principles and off of worldly things. I'm encouraged by the saints in the first century to be able to try to work through that. It seems like, I know that these are just words on the paper, but if you really think about personal lives of first century saints, how difficult it must have been to be so downtrodden, so perplexed, so confused, so scared, hiding in your homes, meeting house to house, always some form of pressure. I admire that. I admire that, the fact that they were able to shift their mind to positive things and still proclaim the name of Jesus Christ with absolute joy. And you too, and I too, have been constructed the same way. That we have a physical shell, but our mind, by reprogramming, by new creation, by the new creation of a new person, as Romans 12 puts it, we aren't conformed to this world, but have been transformed to a different type of person, a different mindset. So real quick, the importance of focusing our mind on positive things. Whatever is true is the first one. Well, Satan's a liar. According to Jesus, he's the father of lies. And all of us as saints have to maintain the proper victorious attitude and recognize lies, but always focus on the things that are true. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Right? Those things are temporary. Whatever is honorable, honor your father and mother. The Apostle Paul quoted that, right? In Ephesians chapter 6, he said, which is the first commandment with promise. It's a positive thing to uplift mental exercise, to honor positions that are rightfully given to those who are reared their children, especially in the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. All men are made in the image of God. And it's a positive pick-me-up to grant people honor that deserve honor. So those people that you know that deserve honor, that have paid their dues, that have counted the cost, that have worked hard, honor those people. Whatever is right, well, I think we all know so many things are wrong in the world. And since Adam and Eve have cursed the world and ate of the fruit of the tree of the fruit of good and evil, and wrong doesn't just all of a sudden start being right because the majority is doing it. Because the whole world sees something as right, doesn't make it right. And so what is right has to be focused on. No matter how many years pass by, the whole scripture is based on righteousness, the concept of righteousness, and what is right, and what is fruitful to focus on, and the blessings that come from living righteously in the present age. So the Christian life, or the Christian whose life is focused on the right things, will be upbeat and reach positive things if they're focused on what is right, what is pure. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, everyone who has this hope fixed on what? On him, purifies himself just as he is pure. Pure thoughts are positive thoughts. Whatever is lovely. This one I like particularly as I wrap up. Added to the list, things that are lovely. You know as well as I do that it's nice to focus on the beauty of God's creation, right? You focus on it, not you, Bob. I've seen that. You look at sunlight after the storm, you notice something magnificent, God's creation, you hold a newborn baby, you watch your kid choose to do the right thing, you see a saint that finishes his life well, passes from this life into the next. All those things are lovely, and all those things should be focused on. All those things should be thought about because they're truly lovely. Whatever's of good repute, or we all know there's plenty of scam artists in the world, evil plotters, and some of them wear suits and some of them don't, and I guess that doesn't matter, but as those who are in Christ would be aware of their existence and aware of their plots, but let's let our minds not dwell where they dwell, low in life, but in glory. And last couple, if there's any excellence is something that's, it's rare these days to go the extra mile, to do something right the first time, to know what's right and to do it while no one's looking. Excellence for us. Focus on the things that are excellent. Lastly, anything worthy of praise. There are plenty of things to criticize in the world, and there are plenty of people who are willing to do it. That's not us. If there's anything worthy of praise, us who are people of Christ, we've been called to a more elevated level of thinking, a more positive way of thinking. Always looking for someone to praise rather than something to criticize. When the follower of Christ has a habit of finding something genuinely praiseworthy, praise it. Praise the person. Being positive and praiseworthy and praiseful will draw people to us. Finding the good in people will draw people to us. So today, I want to challenge you to be personally responsible for your thought process, to be personally thoughtful and intentional in what you're trying to accomplish in your mind and how you're going to take your mind from here to glory and exist there and exist in a higher state, in a place where the things that are around you won't affect you. And I know it's a development process, but I want to encourage you to do that. So let's pray. Awesome God, we're really grateful and thankful today. Thankful to open your